The start order is 1-7-4-2-3-9-8-5.
The Extra Lap RC Podcast.
Yes, this is the Extra Lap RC Podcast. My name's Aidan Burke, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Martin Norwood. How you doing, Martin?
I'm awesome, thank you.
And our good friend, Joey Cockle. How you doing, Joey?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, mate. But Joe, who's better than me, you and Martin? Composite Kit, the sponsor of the Extra Lap RC Podcast. One, something to do with carbon fibre. Two, the best hats. Three, Kit Jones. Midwest A finalist. What more do you want on a sponsor for a podcast? I'm just so happy I remembered. Martin, who are we going to speak to today?
Tonight, today, we're going to speak to King of the Tracks. And unfortunately, someone always beats me at Mendip, Tony Bishop.
Hi, Tony Bishop. How the hell are you?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Well, I'm awesome. Don't know how the other two have been. You two okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tony, have you got sore hands?
Yes, and knees.
Have you got covered? Are you covered in glue?
No, I managed to keep away from the glue too much, so I've got no glue on me. But we've been stretching the carpet as well tonight, so I've been banging a carpet stretcher on my knee.
Oh wow!
There's a lot of innuendo euphemism.
I know. I was regretting that as I was saying it.
Banging things over your knee, stretching things over your knee, bending over.
Mm. I thought this was an RC podcast. Tony, for maybe some people who aren't aware what all that means, what have you been doing this evening?
Well, we have been doing the first joint, gluing the first joint on the all the new Astro. So we've done 25 meters tonight. So we had to trim, overlap the Astro, trim the Astro, put the tape in, mix the glue up, which is two part. And then spread it, and then so a couple of the guys were in front spreading the Astro, which are Andy and Paul, and then myself and Andy Birch were coming behind. Another innuendo. We were putting the Astro down and sticking it to the glue, and also getting the stretcher to get any ripples out.
So okay, mate.
Just started that about 6:30 and finished about 8:30.
Okay, I am going to start again with the same question. Us four know what you've just talked about then, but where are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
So we are Telford Modern Car Club.
There we go.
We are totally, in the last 2 months, ripped up, flattened, reprofiled, rolled, and laying brand new spanking Astro.
Okay. How long's Telford been about? When was the last time you put Astro? When did you put that Astro that was on Telford on Telford?
I want to say 2013.
Okay.
So we started up there in 2000. It must have been 14. Yeah, 2012 we started up there. And we got some reclaimed Astro turf and didn't know what we was doing and just laid it on top of grass. So then we redid it before we had our first national up there. So the summer beforehand. So this is now the third and final go at it, hopefully. That we don't need to. No, we've spent the money on the new Astro with no sand and no joints.
So it's basically, if you just recreated, because Joey's, this is what Joey really wants. Have you just recreated Southport in the Midlands?
Yes.
Is it this? I was listening to Chris Bowden on the Grid Talk. Well, I was definitely speaking to Chris Bowden, Joe, on the weekend. Not exactly sure what for. He sort of said it is the same sort of Verdi AstroTurf that we got at Southport, isn't it?
It's made by the same company. We think it's a slightly different grade. It's definitely a shorter pile. It's a different color. It's a more similar colour to what anybody's seen the pictures of Swindon. So it's a deeper green than what Southport is and what the new straight is at Mendip as well.
Okay. So did you feel like you had to do this?
It was time to do it. Obviously, when we laid it the last time, we didn't do any joints, glued any joints together. So RC cars just wear joint holes in AstroTurf. And it was time that we needed some new Astro. Because the two lots we had before, we never paid for it. So we got our use out of it. It does get... It was always sandy and the cars would come off dirty, even when it was dry. In the summer, it was that fine, really fine dust, which just gets in everything. So, we decided it was time to move forward and get some nice, clean AstroTurf.
Okay, and then my recollection to Telford and pictures of Telford, like it was AstroTurf with like concrete apexes in, but like the only and I've not seen, I've probably seen less pictures than anybody else here. Like it looks like you've just going to lay not a flat green field of AstroTurf, but are you putting concrete apexes in or are you just going to do it with hoses and pipes?
It's the majority will be hoses and pipes. There may be a few on where we know for exactly where we're never going to have a corner. So maybe on the corner of some of the tabletops where we're not going to have a track up those, which may help just hold the AstroTurf down on there. But it's the idea is now just to have like fire hoses filled with gravel and move them around. So it just gives us more options to do things when you got curbs, or those corners are always in the same place, and that's one of the reasons why we ended up needing to change the AstroTurf, because the four corners were wearing out where we were always going round the perimeter of the track.
Okay,
the last corner was really worn out because it always appeared on the same layout, so now we can move the corner in and out, so we're not running on the same bit of AstroTurf at every meeting.
Right. Okay. When was the last time you used to at Telford?
Soon.
No,
I was there at Soon. I thought we used to.
We ran for trucks, didn't we?
Yeah, you came up for was it in COVID? Was it?
Yeah.
It was very COVID time, wasn't it, when we was doing lots of meetings. Yeah. In the wet.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, trucks, you know, I'm sure we'll get to those later. So then, Tony, like, why did you plan on doing Telford upkeep when the West Midlands have no other tracks?
Well, at that point in time, when we started planning it, they did have tracks. So, it was a bit of bad luck with everything with what Kidderminster have gone through and what Coventry have. Currently having at the moment, so we were planning on doing it 12 months ago.
Yeah,
and one thing and another, it didn't come to pass at that point in time. So we decided at the beginning of October of last year that we would go up there and rip the track up, and almost as an incentive that we would have to do it, and then. We haven't had the greatest of winters, apart from January and February, which was really dry, but it was really cold.
Yeah.
And we were just waiting on AstroTurf deliveries at that point. It took a little bit longer for the Astro to come than we were expecting. So I think it was delivered first week in March. And then it proceeded to rain for most of March.
It did.
So, what we've done is, and we've actually, when we've leveled the track, we have actually picked the top end of the track up. So there's now it's about half a meter from top to bottom. So when it rains, the water will run down the track, not sit on the track.
Oh, right. Okay. So if I'm on your rostrum,
yes.
Is it falling from right to left?
Correct.
Okay.
So,
which is kind of where the way the hill goes as well.
Yes. But when we did it this last time, we shaped the track, and because the first time we did it, we didn't have any problem with drainage because we just laid it onto the topsoil and the water ran through and soaked into the ground. So, but when we went and shaped and put extra features in, obviously when you harden the soil up, it doesn't go in and it held in places. So okay. Now this time we've decided to put a definite gradient into it. And we, last Thursday, we managed to get the last piece of Astro let down, rolled out before the rain came on Friday. And one of the guys went up on Friday afternoon, and there was the tiniest little puddle towards the top end. And you could just see where we'd been shaping a little bit. We've just left a little divot in the dip in there. So it's about a meter long by about half a meter wide. And it was only about an inch deep. So just before we glue that bit, we're just going to level that back out and hope, fingers crossed, that I'm not going to say torrential rain, we'll be able, it'll hold it. We should be able to race in it, but normal rain, hopefully it'll just run through. And what we found at Mendip over the weekend is that the Verdi AstroTurf, especially with the longer pilots they've got to mend it, the water sits in the bottom of it and you're not running on it. So it's almost, the AstroTurf's wet if you put your hand in it, but the top of it's dry enough for yellows.
Okay.
So it does seem to, almost like the water sits in the bottom of the Astro and but the top of it's long enough. But hopefully it'll just run off down the field in and out of the bottom. But we have got a little bit of drainage at the bottom as well.
I was speaking to one of our many New Zealand fans, and people who've never dealt with sort of Astro tracks always say, well, what prep do you do under? Like, I'm not being funny, guy, kids. If you're not interested to us talking about what's under an Astro turf track, just skip forward a bit because we need to sort this out. So what prep did you do under the Astro?
So under the Astro, we've got the soil. Really, you should hardcore it, put hardcore underneath, and then so enough 75 mil of stone,
right,
would be the best situation. Then about 20 mil of sand, but yep. Obviously funds do not think for the putting stone onto a 600 square meters of stone, yep, would be quite a bit of money. So what we've done is just dug up all the soil, mixed it over, and then rolled it to make a hard base, and then we put about 10 mil of sand underneath first, and then a weed barrier on top.
Oh, that was the black stuff that, yeah, I saw on. I thought, oh my god, they've bought black Astro.
Yeah, so the black stuff is a weed barrier, which will hopefully stop this any soil or weeds growing through into the Astro. But looking at the Astro as well, the base of the Astro, so the underside of it, is a lot is thick enough that such stuff which shouldn't grow through it, or soil shouldn't come through it as well when it's wet.
Okay, and then you've glued your joins together. So, yes, like we were just talking about this briefly before we started. So is that like, have you got like Astro tape that goes between the two joins, between the, yes, two pieces of Astro? And then you've used some sort of solvent and spread on there, haven't you?
Yes. So we've had, we've got like 200 meters of a tape, which is probably 300 mil wide, or maybe, yep, a little bit less. Stick that in between the joints, half and half. And then we spread on a two-part adhesive over that, and then put the AstroTurf down, and then we stretch it back in. So we cut the joint, overlap the Astro, we cut it level, and then when you put it back down, then you just stretch it into it, and then we just put a few nails in it just to hold it where it was. We kind of a little bit overstretched it so it doesn't go back while the glue is curing.
Okay.
But the glue, we've got at 1 hour of working time with it, so it goes off pretty quick.
Yeah, well, again, like we found, like when we started to glue our Astro together, it was great because if you do want to change something, you just get a Stanley Life and you just cut it again. Because once you get confidence with a join, you just get better and better. And the more confident you are in cutting the Astro with a Stanley Life and flipping it back over and recutting it, you go, you can't see the join in 2 weeks later.
Yeah, everyone was very nervous of you cutting it for the first time, going, is this right? We're sure we're doing this right? But yeah, it's now we've done the first bit, it's going to be a case of even if you cut it a fraction wrong, you can just stretch it back in. If you cut it too much, you almost need to cut it too much, then not enough.
Yeah.
Because if you've got not enough, then you get a little bulge in it.
Yeah.
In the joint, so it's almost like you got to cut it a bit too much, and then you can, when you glue it together, get the carpet stretcher and stretch the joint back in together. And I was pleasantly surprised as I was leaving that the bits we'd done, you couldn't see the joint at that point.
That's amazing. So when
it swept or had a radio control model car over the top of it, you shouldn't see the joints at all when the pile starts moving about.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And that's like AstroTurf is heavy. That's a monumental ask. I saw some pictures of diggers and stuff. Have you had plenty? Yes. I'm sure like the Midwest, because they've had Kidderminster and Coventry taken off them.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure there's been thousands of people there helping out.
Yeah, we've had, I wouldn't say thousands, but I'd like to thank Lee Frost for the use. He sorted out a machine for the second a couple of weeks ago, when we needed to do some work. And we've had a between 5 and 10, but sometimes it's been 3. But we've had a good group of people, like Graham McFarlane from Dougley have come up, all our members, Paul Jones, Paul Steadman, Mark Granger, Andy Birch, Andy Mountford. Oh, you're putting me on the spot now.
That's okay. Anyone he forgets, he loves more than the people he's mentioned. Yeah.
The guys from Pottery who were down, Pete, Paul and Craig. Craig was amazing. Craig is Pete's right-hand man up at Pottery's, and he came down. And we got the biggest roll of AstroTurf is 38 metres by 4 metres.
Yep.
I think it said on the end of it is around 50 kilograms, and the way him and Graham McFarlane picked it up and carried it up the track rolling it out was just amazing.
You need some really big prop. No point having office boys helping you out, is there?
Yeah,
you need some real proper manual men, which is obviously nobody on this podcast. Hang on, mate, you just do mainly paperwork now, and Joey delivers car parts.
I don't do any paperwork, thank you. Anyway, now I'm bored of listening to you two talk about Astro. When are you going to race on it, Tony? That's more important.
I would say probably a couple of weeks' time now.
What?
Yeah, so we've still got... By this weekend, I think we should be glued up, and then it's just a case of just pulling it and just getting all the ripples out of it. And then there's going to be a couple of days of filling track barkings and stuff like that. So we shouldn't be too far away. Probably early part of May, we should be good to go.
Nice. Nice.
Okay. Have you got any events or meetings booked in that you've...
Well, we did have a regional for this weekend, but we made the decision middle of last week. It was going to be too much of a rush, and if the weather hadn't been good, even though the glue does say you can do it in adverse weather conditions, the people applying it can't do it in the adverse weather conditions.
Right. So,
I wouldn't fancy kneeling on the wet AstroTurf for any length of time, to be fair, if it was wet. So we've actually been lucky the last 2 days since Sunday when we had the last rain. It was damp last night, but it was dry tonight to kneel on it without getting wet. So hopefully we'll get by Saturday night. I would hope we're fully glued up, and then it's just a case of just making sure we're all happy with it before we let lots of radio control model cars on it.
No. Just have them on straight away. Martin, hang on. Oh, Martin, you're important. You should be the first one on, shouldn't you?
No, not new, mate.
Why not? Well, that's what I'd do.
Tony, it's his club.
It's not Tony's club. It's all the people involved in Telford. It's their club. Yeah. But more importantly, yes, you're right. We don't need to talk about Telford anymore. We've got all the in-depth info. I'm sure Tony sent me some pictures after we've been speaking that we can use with the Facebook post we can put up on Friday. So actually, you don't need to send me them now. Send me some more on Thursday. That'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll do some on Thursday when I'm, that'll be full advanced.
That'll be better. But we all know what you've been doing this weekend, Tony. You went to Mendip to dominate, and then Martin never showed up.
Yeah.
Were you scared, Martin? Yes.
No, I don't have a truck anymore. I gave it to my mate, Joey.
Oh, excuse.
Not really. And to be fair, I'd spent enough time there. I don't really want to. I just wanted a weekend away from there. So
I'd agree with that.
And slid around on the slidey stuff.
Okay. So, Bish, you were at the first round of the Truck Nationals?
Yes.
At Mendip, how did that go?
Yeah, really good. Really good. We got down there lunchtime on Saturday. So it was practice, open practice from midday till, I think it was around, I think they were still practicing around 6 o'clock. I disappeared back to the hotel then because it had been raining since 4. So, but yeah, it was really nice. First time outdoors with the truck since last year. Even though I did run it at Milton Keynes, but that's completely different racing nicely outdoors with a truck to indoor racing. But yeah, it was nice to get outside with it. And even from the first few laps around the track, it was like it felt nice. It's like I hadn't been, well, it's probably been 6-7 months since the F2s. So yeah. Felt like I'd raced on it the week before. It just felt so comfortable. It really good. So I had, I think, three practice runs on the Saturday, and then it just started mizzling the rain about 4 o'clock. So, and then disappeared off to the hotel, and then came back and picked up Andy and Steve, and went down to the Indian at the end of the road, and had a nice chilled out night there. And then, with all the overnight rain, there was no puddles on the track, but it was damp, wet to start with, and remained wet. It remained wet for the whole of round two, but we managed to get onto yellows at the end of round two.
Yep.
So the older AstroTurf had pretty well dried up. As Martin will know, as the left-hand side under the bushes, that remained damp, but the bits to the right, middle and the right, had dried up. The straight was still damp, but I spotted one of the trucks in the heat before had got yellows on. I went, "Ah, that looks pretty decent," and so quick tire change before we started the last. We was in the last heat, and a quick tire change. It was a bit heavy in round two on the slippy bits, but the grip on the straight was really, really good with yellows, even though it felt dry on top, but if you pushed down onto the Astra, you could still feel it was very damp underneath.
Okay. New Astro, as you walk on it, will feel crunchy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that goes, because that's the UV light and your thing will break that down.
Yeah.
So your crunchiness will move like inside, you know, like so down the middle of the track, that'll be softer than the stuff on the outside. So Maybe that's something to look at. Because we feel like at Southport, there's quite a bit of grip when it's actually wet. But it's when it dries and it mixes with the mud and gets a bit slimier, then that's where we lose a bit of grip. So, sorry, another personal question. Is it just silver mini spikes in the wet?
Truck? I was running the silver V2s.
Okay. I've got any of them.
The JC tyres were very popular as well. The Kingpin, as I believe. A lot of drivers were running those as well. With the JC front tyres, I was running silver staggers on the front.
Okay.
With the Storm.
Okay.
In the wet. So we started off on those and then went to the J Concept swaggers on the front with the yellow V2s on the rear in the okay. when it was dry.
Best get some V2s for my truck. So did you dominate?
I TQ'd rounds one and two from Graham Lyle. Round three was going reasonably well until about 4 minutes and then found a truck facing the wrong way just before where the tree stump was.
Nice.
And then I would say I did panic a little on the last lap because I thought they caught me enough on the stagger and I did try and go around the last corner way too fast, clipped the hose on the outside and ended up about a meter away from the loop. Even though you've moved the loop back towards the last corner, I still don't think so. I ended up with three in the last round, in round three, and then in round four, ended up with three again. But the other two rounds were TQ'd. One was right by Brett Birch in round three, and Mark Hancock TQ'd round four.
Okay.
So I ended up TQ'ing the meeting. So a little, I would say I was a little lucky. On another day, any of the like Graham could have easily TQ'd rounds one and two, especially if it hadn't got dry enough for yellows when I did try him, because he was quick at the start of the run, and then going around sweeper, I changed my line to instead of. When you go in on a dry line, you go around and take it a lot sweep, like a big long arc. So it's almost one long corner. Well, in the wet, I was making it into a sharper corner and then making sure I straightened up for the second part of it to get a good run up the hill and up to the where the tree stump used to be to carry the speed up there so I wasn't losing the time there, which seemed to work. I could see in the lap times towards the end, I dropped half a second a lap. And then.
It sounds like domination to me.
Yeah. And then the finals. So it'd been nice and dry all day, no rain. And the C final was on. And it started to mizzle the rain just in the C final. And you could see it just enough that it was. It had affected the track. So it was a quick run back to the pits, put the silvers on. And we went out and it stopped raining, but it was wet. So, and on the older Astro, as Martin will know, when it's a tiny little bit of water, it is like ice. If you count a crash as more than 90 degrees round, I crashed 10 times. just the truck was on occasion just when it just get especially the going over the jump and heading up to the back that little bit that Astro there it just got a bit excited on the front or it would kind of half spin but you could collect it back but managed to win the first leg. Leg two it had dried up so it was back onto yellows and again managed the gap to start with and I ended up winning by about, well, I think it was about 13 seconds, but there was a bit of carnage behind. So that run the meeting. And then leg three, it would have been about the D final, it started to mizzle the rain again and then it got harder and harder and harder and then it was torrential when we were out in the A final.
I think everyone seemed to get a bit, anywhere in the south seemed to get quite a bit of rain this weekend. We seemed to escape it in the north.
Mm.
It was lovely in Southport. Well, mate, that sounds good. Just for some general information, like, so how many people generally turn up for a truck national?
There was 8 heats. I want to say 45 stadiums, 15 two-wheel drive short course, and 7 four-wheel drive short course. So, okay. 8 heats. We have 4 rounds of qualifying and 3 finals. So, everyone gets 7 runs on the Sunday.
Just trying to work. That seems like 7 runs on a Sunday. So, yeah, okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Sure, it's fine. We were done, I want to say, for around, I think we were finished just after 5 o'clock. We start 9:30. We had a half hour break between heats and finals.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just after 5 o'clock, I think, we were done.
That sounds perfect, mate. Sounds perfect.
I don't quite remember because we seemed to be rushing around because it was still throwing it down when we was trying to do the presentation photos. And
oh, yeah.
And then the trip home wasn't great either on the M5. It was raining very hard north of Bristol.
Yeah, that's to keep the visitors away.
Mm.
You know, Martin doesn't like outsiders. Joey gets scared by rain. So is that the only sort of series you're doing? Trucks? Are you doing Midwest?
Yeah, I do Midwest. So we've had round one at Kidderminster, which made the A final. Really happy to make the A final with the level competition there at that event.
That was just two-wheel drive, wasn't it?
Yes. Second round this weekend at Oswestry.
Yes, the rearranged Telford one. Yeah.
Yes, taken over from us, so we're up there. Then we come up to you for the four-wheel drive and trucks round one. Week on Sunday.
I've been speaking to Mike and Matt Dobb today.
Yeah.
Just trying to sort those things out. So do you do four-wheel drive and truck?
Or just
four-wheel drive?
May do. Probably do four-wheel drive for that one. If there's the time, it'd be nice to do the two classes, being we're up for the following weekend for the Truck National.
Okay.
So it'd be nice to get a little bit of running up there beforehand with a truck. But yeah, it'd be four-wheel drive. To make sure we qualify for the F2s at the end of the season.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Need to get all that done. Well, that's just going to be pretty busy. Now, what was Martin's Astro compared to your Astro? Like, go on, he's probably not listening. Were his joins as good as your joins, or...?
Well, being with only one so far, they looked absolutely fine. It looked really, really good. Really, really good.
I did do the joints. That was all down the carry, and he did a good job considering he did it on his own. So
yeah,
he did awesome.
Okay, it's just an exciting time, especially when like new Astro, because you've done. It's like a whole new Telford, isn't it? Going back to that, it's like a whole new Telford. Nobody knows what it's going to be like. No one knows whether it's going to, you know, work or not work, or the corners and thing. It's such an exciting time. You just must be hoping it all gets glued together. You can get out to where they're straight away.
Yeah. Well, like I say, if we get some dry weather this week, we should get glued down, and then probably next week we'll just be making sure everything's right, and then the following, I would have thought the Tuesday after the Jubilee weekend, we should be hopefully with a first club race up there.
Wow, man. It's gonna be amazing. You're gonna have such a good May. You're gonna spend so much time in Southport.
Yeah, I've got 2 weekends up in May, and then the weekend after. When everyone's down at Mendip, I'm flying off to Spain for 2 weeks.
Well, 2 weeks in Southport, mate. 2 weekends in Southport will be perfect practice for a 2-week holiday in Spain.
Yeah.
The sunniness, the ice cream, the beach, the fair, all of the things in Southport. Be perfect for you, mate.
Yeah.
Best place in the world. Happiest place on the planet.
Yeah, Spain.
No, Southport. Get off. Don't make me start speaking Spanish.
I'd rather go to Telford.
Sorry,
but in Spain.
I said I'd rather go to Telford.
Yeah, that's it. So
then Southport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've got it. I bumped into somebody this weekend, sorry, Tone, like, who turned around and said, Aidan, I think I've listened to every episode of the Extra Lap RC podcast in the last month. And I went, well, one, you can't do that. It's impossible. And he went, I'm a painter and decorator. So instead of listening to the radio, I've just listened to this. And do you know what the next words out of his mouth was?
Why do we always crap on Southport?
No. What's up with Joey? That's literally what he said. What's up with Joey? He seems like he wanted to know how old Joey was.
32 like, in June.
Well, no, he was like, is he like 60? Do you know what I mean? He was just like so negative. And I just said, it's just an act. He's really a big teddy bear.
Right. Let's Martin can agree with why I act like a 60-year-old sometimes, because not everyone, a small majority or a small handful of people in this industry, in our hobby, are complete morons.
Yep. Normally the ones we speak to on a podcast.
Normally, because, again, there's a handful that aren't. Let's just put it that way.
Handful that aren't. He didn't mention you, Bish. He didn't mention you. So, like, with all this work in Telford, so as soon as this is done, like, yeah, a national application form going in for 2024, straight back on the calendar.
Yeah, we think so. Don't see why not.
Yay.
No, not think so, will so.
Yeah.
Get down and help him glue it, Joe. Get down and help him glue it.
We've got to get Southport off this calendar. We really have.
That's it. I'm not being funny. Like, all these noise complaints we've had, I'm sure if I look at them, they'll all be in crayon, badly spelt.
Well, it would be me.
Postmark from Wales. You know, all the things Joey does. And then, is that it then for you? You're doing your Midwest. You've got your truck stuff. You spend the rest of the time like sitting on that hill in Telford and enjoying the new track. Not going to go. Oh, F2s.
You're going to
F2s in Durham.
Yeah, we're going to do a bit of the iconic meeting at Oswestry as well in early September.
Oh, that'll be that's the one they do on grass.
Yeah, it's on grass. I haven't raced on grass in years.
Yeah, it's fine.
Wait, Tony. What car are you going to use at Iconic?
A Schumacher Pro Cat.
Excellent. Are you going to have the shocks that come in the kit on it, or small bores, or are you going to put big bores on it?
Possibly both. Let's see.
Oh, cheating.
Just big bores fit on it very easily, so... we shall see.
Right.
The kit shocks will be on it.
The kit shocks will stay on it. Do not put big balls on, because then you take out the rule of vintage. They were not on that car in that era that car came out. Therefore, it doesn't fit. It shouldn't be allowed. Electrics are different. But you can't call something vintage when it's got modern bits on it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Are you shimming your front tower so you can put your shocks on the back? Hey, guys, do you see me? Do you see me in my regional there, boys? Pretending like I'm a big boy and put my shocks on the back of the front shock tower.
Oh, wait. Is that the regional where, for Southport, you put your podium picture up, not the actual winner of the event?
Yeah.
Okay, 100%.
I literally just asked, where's my... not being funny, mate. One of the fellas in that picture, I believe, is a National A finalist.
Right.
So I beat a National A finalist, you know.
What's he a National A finalist in?
I think he's a National... Someone told me he's a National A finalist in 10th.
Yeah, what? Touring car?
Nope.
Stock?
Nope. Do you know? Do you realize the people who were in that? Tony Bish might be more your era. Sorry, Bish. These guys are too new to know with all these people. Did you guys recognize the other people? Well, I'm going to say on the picture, the fella on the picture on the right hand side of on the right hand side of the picture. That's Colin Kershaw. Okay, dominated. Wait, him.
You're saying me and Martin are too new. Wait, I haven't even raced in like 12 months. And I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
100%, that's totally true. And then to the on the picture, the person onto the left-hand side, I mean, does any of you recognize who that was?
I didn't really look, to be fair, because you'd posted a picture of you winning, so I got bored.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, someone said he was a National A finalist. His name's Chris Long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly, Bish.
That's a name from the past.
Thank you very much. How surprised was I 4 weeks ago when I turned up at Southport the first time? My dorm went, oh my God, are you Chris Long? The last
make
time
him
I
buy
spoke...
his t-shirt.
Make him buy his t-shirt.
Yeah, he was part of the X Factory team.
Yeah, he had his own t-shirt.
He had his own t-shirt.
I don't think I've got one. I've got the Kinwald one.
Cockers.
The Ellis what? No, they would never know them. The Phil Slay and
yeah, you got the Greenwood.
Greenwood. I've got a Greenwood.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's Chris Long. And last time I saw Chris Long driving, he was driving like a B4 with a truck chassis. Remember when like you had to put like you put 8mm extensions into B4.1 chassis?
Yeah.
He was running a truck chassis. That's how long ago it was. So that's who I beat. That's literally who I beat. He did clip me. And, you know, everyone else was faster in my final. All that happened was I got clipped on the cobbles. But obviously he's Chris Long. Schlong, as we call him. And obviously because he's a superstar, he just waited. I carried on. So, you know, there we go. Dominated it. But yes, I put my pictures up as if I'd won the entire event, and I didn't. Long way of saying that. I'll probably dominate Bish when he comes and runs, if he runs trucks at Midwest.
Right.
not a problem. I would dominate Bish in trucks if I was doing a truck national, but I'm not.
Ah, the delusion kicking in.
It's not a problem, mate.
You're not doing the truck national, Aiden?
No, I can't, mate.
No.
I'm doing trucks in Midwest. I'm doing Midwest trucks. As long as Martin doesn't throw me out for doing two regions.
No, it's fine. It's only to go with T grade, so.
Well, that's okay, mate. That's fine. I haven't heard what a T grade is. It's never been mentioned on this podcast before. I thought it was something to do with toilets in Robin Hood. Your T grade. So yeah, I'm doing it then. I can't make it for the truck nationals. So
no.
Leave a space on the podium for me, mate.
Yeah.
That's fine. But again, I think it'll be like the lot. I'm not exactly which ones are going. Is it? It'd be Tony Parman, Kevin Hodgkinson, and Andy Woods.
Yeah.
Is that the only national that they're doing?
I think it is, yeah. Like wow. Andy Woods spent all regional helping me, mate. That's what he does now. He's kind of retired now. He got his F1 again. He's retired just to help me. That's just the way it works in our region, mate. Keep Aiden happy. It's the most important thing. And I don't think I say I'm doing a Midwest regional. You guys are all so well behaved and looked after. It's gonna be like a lovely day out in Lancashire, apparently. That's where Southport is. It's in Lancashire, apparently, not the Liverpool City region. So it'll be nice for some of the Midwest guys to, you know, see what it's like going really fast. I'm sure they'll be fine in four-wheel drive. I'm sure they'll be fine. More positive things from the trucks going forward. I think it's certainly grown from like when it used to be the short course nationals, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. The introduction of the stadium trucks has helped them along. Now, I haven't looked off the top of my head what the entries are like for rounds moving forward, which rounds are the most popular. But I'd imagine there will be around seven heats at each of them.
Which works perfectly, mate. You know, especially if you're having 3-leg finals for everyone, it's a great way of holding an event and getting everybody involved. And there's also, when I was sort of speaking to you guys, there's like a lot of campers involved. It seems like it's a really good sort of, I don't want to say family, but, you know, event feel to something, even though it's only a 1-day thing.
Yeah, it's nice just to go down on the Saturday, and you can have, like I said, about 6 hours of track time on the Saturday if you want to, to learn the track and play with setups. But it's also, especially when the weather gets a little bit warmer, it was a little bit on the cold, chilly side on the Saturday before the rain came. But when it gets to the summer, it's nice to sit around and have barbecues and like we did last year.
Enjoy yourselves. Excellent. Okay. Guys, I do have a regional-based question for you all. Okay? All right, you can all have a guess at this before we let Tony go. All right? I did some scrutineering this Sunday for the Northwest. One car failed scrutineering. Would you like, can anyone guess what car it was and why it failed scrutineering?
Was it 2-wheel drive or 4-wheel drive?
This is not guess who, Tony Bishop. Come on, let's see some guesses.
S-Works.
Nope.
X-Ray.
Nope. I think Tony was under the right line about if you get what car it was right, with like which class it was, that would be important.
So 4-wheel drive, B74 front axles.
Nope. No, not be funny. That's no, no, and no.
Oh, it's a 2-wheel drive.
It was a 2-wheel drive that failed scrutineering. Would you like to guess what? The next thing would be guess why a 2-wheel drive would fail scrutineering.
Overweight.
Nope.
Underweight.
Oh, it can't fail for... Yeah, you've checked me that. You can't fail for being overweight. Underweight, we had no cars.
No. I was just checking you.
Yeah. We had no cars that were underweight. The closest I remember, something was about 3 grams near the limit. And someone's car was literally 350 grams over the limit. But that was not the reason why this 2-wheel drive failed scrutineering.
Voltage.
Open spare gear.
Nope. It wouldn't fit in the box.
Hang on. What car were it?
Okay. It was a Hot Bodies D2 Evo. Is that what they're called?
Uh-huh.
So, like, when I say wouldn't fit in the box, like, it's not like we all think 4-wheel drive, sometimes the nuts catch on the front, don't they? You know, whatever, ground the axle down. Every car's done that. The back wheels would not fit in the box. The back wheels, like, I'm not even talking about, like, oh, does it fully sit in the box while under full compression and all that nonsense? We couldn't get it in the box. You had to take it away. I don't know how he shimmed his rear hubs and axle widths or whatever, hexes, whatever Hot Bodies does, but it literally just sat on top of our box. So there we go. If something fails, you assume it's going to be 4-wheel drive. You assume it's going to be front axles, but no. 2-wheel drive, rear wheels not fit in the box. I think that was literally the most exciting thing that happened at our national, our regional this weekend. Wasn't that? It was all fine. Tony, you know where you're going. You've told us. But before we let you go, and you have thanked some Telford people, if you've remembered any other Telford people, you just let us know.
Yeah.
But other than that, would you like to thank anybody before we say goodbye?
Would like to thank Schumacher RC, my sponsor. I would like to thank my wife, Sarah, for letting me go off and do track building and model car racing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank all the members who have helped and non-members who have helped so far with the track build. One met person I need to thank is Hugh Davis. When I started in 1989, he was the club secretary. So he's been with the club all the way from when we raced at Dark Lane. He's been up there as much as he can, helping from when we started back in March. So he's a one big thank you. And as well, Paul Jones is again help. He was the one who's ordered the AstroTurf and done all the stuff behind the scenes, really.
Yeah,
get us all the stuff, ordering the stuff, and as well because I had time to do stuff, but now work's a bit more busy. I don't get time during to do stuff like that. But okay. But yeah, so can't think of anybody else to thank.
I'll do really, to be honest, to me.
Yeah, I think we got it all covered.
You got most of them covered. If you forget them, you can just say Aiden edited them out. He doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Tell him Joey got jealous. Tell him like Martin was about to ban them from Race with Respect, but we just didn't. Tony, thanks very much for your time. Thanks for all the work that you've done and all the people who have helped you with your work at Telford. I look forward to dominating you sometime over the next 2 or 3 weeks, mate, with a truck. Cheers, boss. Cheers now. Right. Bye-bye.
See you all. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was great speaking to Tony Bishop and give us an update of what's going on at Telford and some truck things. And it was awesome speaking to our favourite on-road friend, Alexander Hagberg, last week. Really good. Got lots of great feedback. Everyone seemed to really enjoy that episode. Guys, I've spoken a bit about my Northwest Regional, so I've just got to thank a few people near the end. Joey, clearly you didn't go racing. Martin, did you go anywhere?
Yeah, I went to Tiverton and did some buggy racing because, as I said earlier, Joey had my truck and I was fed up and mended it. So it's nice just to go and race, switch on.
And have a day off, as I say.
Yeah, yeah. Just go in and Tiverton, for those that haven't been, it's quite a fairly low grip Astro track compared to our higher grip Astro tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, to be honest, since they'd gone to the new Astro, kind of struggled there, but I've obviously found something good with the car because I actually managed to TQ the meeting, which I haven't done there for years. So yeah, it was good.
Wow.
And then threw it away in the final.
Oh, perfect. Who took advantage of you throwing it away?
Oh, Harry won, so I didn't care. So it was still a Schumacher winning, so I was quite happy.
So you were okay with that? You were okay with that?
Yeah. You've never been to Tiverton, Aiden, but the start of the straight is downhill.
Yes, I'm aware.
It kind of bottoms out and goes into a bank corner. Well, it rained just before the finals, and it dried. The whole track dried for our final, apart from if you were on grid position 1 and 2, you just couldn't get away at the start. So at the start of the turn, myself and Dan Hardy just spun round, and everyone went past.
Nice.
You know, kind of had to play catch up, so it was all right. But I got back up to second, so I was quite happy.
Well done, mate. Well done. Where were you?
It was good.
So where were you lot next? Are you racing next week? Joey, are you racing next week?
I'm hoping to be on Saturday because it's the first Mid-East Regional at New Club Sheffield.
Oh, you're going to race on grass in Sheffield, aren't you? How far away is that from you?
It's an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, something like that.
Okay, I was speaking to you.
I have to drive. I work this out, and it's quite funny. I drive past every single one of our regional tracks to go to Sheffield, and I also drive past Robin Hood.
Wow, I know. I spoke to Miklos during the week, and it's like a 3.5 hour journey for him.
I thought he did. Well, he was doing East of England.
I don't know. She's going to Sheffield.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Maybe he's doing one class in one and one class in the other. I don't know.
That, you know, I'm not. Miklos can do what he likes, but Miklos is a grown ass man. But 3.5 hours for a regional is bonkers.
It does seem a long way.
It's, like I said, it's completely Miklos's choice. You know,
yes.
Like I said, he's a grown ass man. But if it was the other way around, where it was the region have said, "Oh no, we're going here," you live 3.5 hours where tough. That's you know, that's like what the Mid South did years ago when they put like torch and stuff on the Mid South calendar.
Okay.
You know, that ain't a regional. That's a national okay. in journey yeah, time.
You must be pretty happy though, Martin, with the thoughts of like I know I don't want to keep talking about 13 heats. Like I'm not being funny. There were 13 heats of like 11, just trying to get people through. I know the North East have got like 10 heats on one day and some other heats on another day. It's like regionals are back, aren't they?
Well, see, yeah, I mean, with good national numbers usually breeds good regional numbers, and it is so. Yeah, it's going well. I don't know. I think tent scale's just in a good place. I don't think it's any particular reason or any particular people or anything. I just think it's in a good place. It's you know, I mean, even the stadium trucks, to be fair, at Mendip on Sunday had more entries than the e-buggy national at Hart. So. You know, I don't know. You could maybe say it's a tire thing that we got a control tire, which makes it a little bit easier.
Yep.
Over.
I think it makes it more affordable as well. Cause, I mean, you like I say, e-buggy. You look at every different tire that they have under the sun. You know, I've seen some top racers complaining about 8-scale tires and whatnot. So. Maybe they need to be looking in our windows and seeing what we're doing.
I'm going to say that top races, John Skidmore complains about tyres. And then I could say I spoke to somebody else who went to the e-buggy nationals, but everyone will know that means I'm talking about Miklos. And I think he even bought a set of tyres that like he never used and he's never going to use again now. That's the issue for those things. Isn't it the same way people who have uncontrolled tyres want controlled tyres, and people who have controlled tyres sometimes get told that they want uncontrolled tyres? Everyone just wants something different. But, mate...
Or if you're really crazy...
Go on.
You accuse someone of cheating and sourcing their tyres indoors at a carpet race. Don't know where that happened, but it sounds crazy to me.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Oh yeah, whilst we're on the US bandwagon, Keenan, if you're listening, Nitro is under glory.
Okay,
nah, definitely
not. Oh, and nor stock. So let's get that out there now. Stock and Nitro clearly falling apart this year. Nobody cares.
So are you saying was that the US Nationals people were? Source and tires, or is that somewhere in this country?
No, not this country. We're not stupid.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now you say that, right? I do remember one time at Southport indoors, and this is before ramp works. This was like the Formby venue we had. Someone came up to me, and we used to have pitting by the track and pitting upstairs in like the cafe. Wasn't a cafe, but it looked a bit like a cafe. And I remember someone coming down and said, Aiden, like, there's somebody there sourcing tyres. And I went, no, I'm sorry, mate. That doesn't happen. And literally, I just went upstairs. And that's what he was doing. He was sourcing Cactus. Because, you know, we had like a one tyre rule. And he just, I think he'd come from a different class or something. And that's what he was. He was just sitting there sourcing a set of Cactus. I'm like, wow. But if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know. No. That's what it is. That's fine. US Nationals. I'm gonna say they were like perfect results, weren't they? You know, Buzz might shout, but you know, TLR took one win, Associated took another win, and there was a Schumacher person on every podium. Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
Was it Rivkin and Fend and I know Brock was on the podium.
I was going to say Brock was third in both, wasn't he?
He was second in four-wheel drive. He was third in two-wheel drive.
Cav was in the A as well. And was, I think he was fourth overall in like the proper classes. That's excellent. I didn't see much of the coverage. I was away. I was either working or racing for a long day, but that was really good. It was really good to see everybody at the Northwest Regional turn up, like five heats of F5s. Like they're the people just starting out, you know, questions that we get early doors, all positive questions, you know, moaning. It all worked perfectly. So like people like would just question where they were in heats or something along those lines. And, you know, because it's a bit of a gap between the end of the regionals and then them starting again in the summer or like now, people forget. And it's like you always go, it's the regionals, it's the rules. That's what the rules is. That's what we did. No issues with sound. I think I might have mentioned this last week. We had a noise complaint at Southport. Tannoy's down, loads of small speakers. So you could hear everything around the track. We just weren't trying to broadcast that 4 miles away.
Jerry,
yes, mate.
I just thought something. Sorry to interrupt. I just thought something. We should rename this. It shouldn't be the Extra Out Podcast. It should be the Northwest Regional Podcast. Don't you reckon?
Yeah. Easy region. Yeah.
Anyway, Easy region podcast. For those that don't want to talk about the Northwest region, we could talk about the Scotty Ernest race at Robin Hood.
That would be awesome, mate. What do you want to talk about that for?
Well, because obviously it's coming up. It's the end of May. There's a lot of people that didn't get into nationals and are doing regionals. And here's a chance, you know, that there's no entry cap. So those that maybe couldn't get into the nationals at Robin Hood, it's a chance to go and race at Robin Hood. So certainly have a look at it.
I'm certainly booked in for two-wheel driving truck, I think I'm doing.
Nice. I can't make it, unfortunately, but
that makes it even better for me and Joe.
I think that's failure from our own chairman, but there we go.
Okay, well, if you want to speak to my wife and her parents' 50th wedding anniversary on that weekend, you go right on ahead.
But you said that's the week that this Scotty Ernst thing's a 3-day thing. You only need to be at their anniversary for one day, so you could still do two more days.
Oh, yeah, so you can go talk to her about that.
No problem. I will speak to your wife tomorrow.
Just remember, you've been married like, what, 2 seconds, and I've been
married 5 weeks.
Like
5 weeks, Joe. Fucking like hell.
17 years or something.
Maybe so. Six. Yeah, but after 17 years, she should be surprised that, you know, you bugger off and do things that you shouldn't do or leave family events.
Yeah, I know, but not getting away with this one.
Aiden doesn't care. See, yeah, Aiden will just go and do what Aiden does.
Yeah, he doesn't race anything big.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm not being funny, mate. If, like, you guys, I think your, like, six national weekends are so baked into your calendar that you kind of forget them. So, like, when, you know, Martin doesn't take the mick out of you because you're not going racing in, like, a week's time or 2 weeks' time or something along those lines. You guys are doing, like, 5, 6, 7 weekends away already. So when there's a Scotty Ernst one, like me and all my crazy mates are coming because we haven't got any other weekends away.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's why like people didn't get into nationals. Go and do it. Have a good weekend away and enjoy it.
And even if you did get into nationals, go and do it anyway. Extra practice at Robin Hood.
Yeah. And if you listen to this podcast, like my painter and decorator friend, you'll understand that the grumpy Joey who turns up here is not like that in real life. He's actually a really nice person.
No, he's not. Stand next to him on the rostrum when he's throwing his toys out the pram. He's not nice. He's irritable. He's like a child, petulant child.
Oh, fuck off.
Probably at that, point, I'm going to say I'm going to look forward to seeing my mate Mark Gregory very soon. My mate Mark Gregory is coming over from New Zealand, and I think it's in a week or two's time, and we'll be appearing at certain racetracks with, like, not very much equipment, whatever he can fit in his carry-on luggage. So if you see somebody, you know, looking a bit lost, you know, speaking as if everything was a question, that's my mate Mark Gregory. Please help him out. The last bit to annoy Martin, because I never got round to it, is it's very important for regionals, for the people there to help. The people we need to thank for the Northwest region at Southport, we need to thank Leslie for doing all the race directors bit. We have to thank Eddie Holt, the man. I did a bit of refereeing, but that was, I did a little breaks just to give Eddie a break. Otherwise he was up there for probably like 6 out of the 7.5 hours we were there. Congratulations to, thank you very much for Eddie Holt for doing all that for us. And the scrutineering, even though I've taken all the accolades, it was mostly done by Dan Hall and Stu White. There's my little thank you. Guys, is there anything you'd like to say or chat about before I, Aidan Burke, kind of a big deal, thank my sponsors?
Clearly not a big deal.
A big deal.
I want to touch
deal, on... Jerry, did he get his four-wheel drive before anyone else? No, not a big deal. Anyway, yeah, go on.
No, but I did. Did I get mine before he did? I think so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go on.
I think it's something we may have touched on last week, maybe the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Track cutting again.
You sent me a video, didn't you?
Yeah, that made the one from the previous week.
No, it was. Hang on. That was worse. That was during practice, wasn't it?
That looked like it was qualifying.
No, it was practice.
Does your ref cover practice then? Because there was a ref up there.
There was a ref there. Well, yeah, that's beating me up. That the ref who was there.
Regardless, practice, qualifier, finals, we are not defending it. You should not be defending it because it is blatant shit.
Correct.
It was awful. It made the one from 2 weeks prior look okay.
No, it doesn't. The one from 2 weeks prior was much worse because the guy's intentionally done it. The fellow who did it on the clip you told me crashed and rolled off. As your dad would say, as we spoke to him a few weeks ago, he's watching car one, then he's watching car two.
That is not an excuse to cut the track or take someone out or whatever.
Oh, mate, you've funny. When I reffed, someone did something very similar, and probably wasn't video, but you can actually hear me go, wait, because you could see the car was just trying to go, and they don't. That was an accidental track cut.
Going back to your point, this guy crashed, right? But did not, in any way, shape, or form, stop and wait. He just drove off.
Absolutely, he did not wait in any way, shape, or form. He just drove straight off.
You can actually hear him go.
I'm just going to drive around the corner.
But that, to me, does not shout accidental. That shouts intentional.
No, what I'm saying is, if you look at that clip that you sent me, it's accidental how he gets into that position.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But at that point, he should have gone, oh, shit, this is an accident. Okay. I'll rejoin and I'll wait. But instead, he's taken it upon himself to drive off. Mm. That's, to me, intentional.
Yeah, it's like someone someone accidentally getting taken out in a national and then just throwing the toys out of the car and have to be told off by the ref. Do you know what I mean?
I've just watched it again. It's definitely not practice because you've got scores down the left-hand side and Eddie is watching and all your marshals are out.
He's watching the other side. Yeah, so that's fine. Track cutting's not good. I'll tell you what we did have as well. Race with respect. Like, I got tapped out by car two who waited for me. I then reffed a few of the four-wheel drive one finals just to give Eddie a bit of a break at the end of the day. And in two of the ones, both times, the leader gets taken out by car two. And car just sit there and wait. They just wait for each other. And then they just drive off. It's unbelievable. You know, standards are great. But yeah, that was terrible track cutting. Glad you pointed it out. I've done absolutely nothing about it. So there we go.
Oh, it's too late now because it's like 3 days after it's happened.
Yeah. I'm just really happy that you just watch all those videos from YouTube about Southport. Keeps me happy, mate. Keeps me happy.
Oh, I didn't watch the video. It was sent to us or sent to me.
That's even better that someone sent it to you. It's even better. Is there anything else we'd like to chat about before I thank my sponsors? Martin had a list. Have you done your list, Mom?
Ryan Stiles Harris. He's back.
Right. Ryan Stiles Harris is back. I'm so happy. I'm happy. How are you two feeling?
Well, I hope he's going to do some videos again because they were cool. I quite like them.
I love them.
Yeah, Joey, I thought some of them were cool, yeah.
Some of them were cool. That's like high praise from Joey, that way. Some of them were okay.
I spent many sort of evenings and stuff watching some of his videos there. It's something that, you know, this isn't a dig at some of them, but some of the pro guys could do not. I know, like Rivkin, and they do like some of their videos, but from Ryan's perspective, it's like the average Joe racer kind of, you know. When Spencer and I do their videos, obviously there's a point to them. Obviously, Ryan has a point to his videos, but they're directed at like me, you, Martin, because, you know, we are the average Joes.
Joey loves Ryan. Joey loves Ryan. Are you actual fanboy of Ryan Stiles Harris?
I won't go as far as like worship the ground he walks on.
He is, isn't he?
He's a fanboy of his work.
He's a fanboy. Yeah. It's
an interest.
I'm a bit of a fanboy of what CML did at the National with a junior racer, to be fair, as well. Did we all see that?
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Do you see that, Aiden?
What you're trying to tell me is the fella who beat me in my heat, every heat, was because I'm thinking, Ashton's doing really well today. Doesn't normally beat me. Why is he beating me this time? And then I see on Facebook, it's because he sat next to the Halls all weekend before. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. I was impressed with that.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, it's good to see.
Well, I think everyone was impressed. The only person who wasn't impressed with that was me, because I kept being beat by Ashton Bowie. Wow. Because he'd been helped by the Halls.
Good, I'm glad he beat you. He deserved to.
He did. Yeah, he got many a 14 lappers, and I didn't get any 14 lappers, so.
Yeah, because you're too busy worrying about braiding your hair and
getting sick noodles.
How big of a deal you are.
Yeah, pot noodles.
Oh, worrying about and seeing Everton get absolutely smashed and relegated this season.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Bottom three. Championship's coming.
I think what we could do for that episode when we get relegated.
Hold on, guys. This is not on scene. Remember, we're not allowed to talk about that.
This is not the docking rule. It's not about video games. Like, we just have to get every other football person who knows anything about football and RC on and just shout at me for an hour and a half. It'd be fine.
We're just not allowed to talk about shit. That's right. I remember.
Yeah, it's fine. I think we just need to. I might need to like get banned. Probably safest if I just get if I get a BRC holiday for like 4 weeks after Aiden Everton get relegated. That's probably the safest thing, because people, you know, they're going to make a joke about it. I'm going to laugh. They're going to make another joke, and I'm going to stab them in the face with the 2 mil driver. That's just going to be the way it is.
Martin.
Yeah.
I know it's never likely to happen.
Yeah.
But is the Southport National after the Premier League season has finished?
Yes, I think it is, Joe.
Yes, it right. is, yeah.
I think that, again, it's never likely to happen, but all the BRCA members that stand on the Russell Dunn driver's briefing.
Mm-hmm.
Should wear something red or a Liverpool top.
Yeah, I'd rather cut my wrists.
As a Man United fan, I know that would never. But you've got to wear something red. Well,
I like it. I like your thinking, though, Joe. I like your thinking. Like, if you, like, you guys got everyone who was a Liverpool fan, like, to come the Nationals with a Liverpool shirt to Southport, that would really annoy me.
And then, and possibly who the team that finally put the nail in your coffin, if they turn
Everton,
up as well.
Everton are the name team. The nails.
Yeah, but imagine like last game of the season, all Everton need is a point to, you know, thing, and you played something like Leeds or someone.
Okay. Like, I like your thoughts. I don't think
my dad would enjoy the shit out of that, if I'm honest, being a Leeds fan. But
anyone, so that's a free ice cream off Aiden if you turn up to the Southport National in a Liverpool shirt. It'd be good because the National people come from all around the country and none of them come from the city of Liverpool. So there'll be loads of them. Panda trouser snake.
Don't Joel Mayer. He's a Liverpool fan. He's from Liverpool.
He's basically a wolf. He sounds like he's from Liverpool, but he lives, and Joel listens to this every week, so he'll get this. He is a massive wolf. He lives outside the city of Liverpool. He like basically lives in the hills.
Okay. He just got married.
Congratulations, Joel. I think he got married the week after I did.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Joel. They did. He is married. He was at the regional 2 and 4 wheel drive.
Good lad.
Didn't he go abroad and get married just to have a really good time? Someone else should have done that. Anyway.
No, I think he got married. No, he got married in the UK and then naffed off on his honeymoon to somewhere abroad.
Come on, we've done football, mate. We can't do marriages and weddings again. So,
anyway, back to RC.
I'm just going to thank the sponsors. We can get on the job. Here's a joke that you two won't get, but everyone else will get when they listen.
Everton Football Club.
That is a joke.
I honestly think that even though we've only had 4 people on this podcast, if we add all the ages of the people on this podcast, we still will be a higher number than the people who've been on the Grid Talk this week. Remembering to people, we're recording this at the same time. Yes. I would like to thank my sponsors, hashtag the Schumacher family, for everything that they do for me. I'd like to thank TQ Models for all the great stuff and support they give up to the Northeast. And I know the Northeast are having like there's a regional this weekend, I think. And then in the next few weeks, there's like a competition between the Nîmes Club and Durham. It's great to see those two clubs working together. I'd like to thank Vix Paints for all the shells that she paints for me. All great. Love them lots. I'm just going to get more and more done. I'd like to thank hashtag Composite Kit for not only sponsoring this podcast, but making the best hats. For RC House for storing all my stickers out, and Clinic RC for giving me all those little extra bits. I'm currently using Core RC servos because I'm having a falling out with CoProPo. I'm sure CoProPo will be fine with that. Are they all my sponsors? I've missed anyone, have I?
No.
I think that's about it.
And we'd also like to thank everyone at Southbrook putting up with your stupid ass. But there we go.
I'm not being funny, mate. That's the one time you can't make that joke because, like, people in Southport don't listen to this podcast. They had 9 hours of me on Southport this Sunday. They don't need any more. Please like and share the podcast. Please like and share all the podcasts. I've really enjoyed Action RC coming back. They've done a great hour and a half first part interview of Jared Tebow talking about his early life.
Yeah, that was good.
That was very good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
that's
probably my favorite podcast at the moment. Action. He's just very easy to listen to, unlike us idiots.
Oh, I'm not being funny, mate. We do not need to do any interviews because I'm just going to give them to Action RC to get done. Like, please, if you haven't listened to that, I don't know, nonsense, please go and listen to Action RC. Excellent podcast. Please like and share this. Please like and share that. Please listen to Action RC. Please generally just enjoy yourselves. 10th is in a... It's a great part. That's not a thing that we need to sit back on our laurels and just sit how good we are doing. Let's move forward and let's push. Let's get new people involved. That's super. I'd like to thank Tony Bishop, the Bish train for turning up this week. Alexander Hagberg for turning up last week. I sometimes like to do a little spoiler about who we've got on next week. I've messaged a few people. None of them responded. Let's just see what happens now. Okay. Cheers, Martin. Cheers, Joe. Cheers, everyone. Yeah. Bye. Right now. Bye. 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 I don't know where my hat is. Let me put this.